Hello and welcome to the One Medicine Podcast from Today's Practitioner. In each episode, we share the expertise of a respected thought leader, some you'll know and others you'll probably meet for the first time. We cover topics important to you, always with a focus on improving the health outcomes of the patients you treat, while expanding your understanding of the many healing modalities being used today. Welcome to the One Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Lutz, and with me today is Wendy Coulter. And give you a brief bio on Wendy before we jump into the topic, but we're going to be talking about medical intuition. And Wendy is definitely an expert, as you'll see here today during our conversation. And right now, I'll share with you just a little bit about her background. Wendy Coulter is the founder and CEO of The Practical Path, presenting intuitive development programs for wellness professionals. An award-winning author and educator, Wendy is a certified medical intuitive practitioner, master certified wellness coach, and the president of the National Organization for Medical Intuition, also known as NOMI. Her accredited certification program, Medical Intuitive Training, has been pivotal in training in helping integrative and holistic healthcare providers develop and optimize their inherent intuition. She is an invited presenter at prominent health and education organizations, including the Academy for Integrative Health and Medicine, the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine, and others. Her trailblazing research on medical intuition is published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Integrative and Complementary Medicine. Wendy is the author of Essentials of Medical Intuition, A Visionary Path to Wellness, the winner of a prestigious Nautilus Silver Award in Body, Mind, and Spirit Practices, and the International Book Awards and American Book Fest Book Awards in Health, focused on alternative medicine. Wendy, welcome and thank you so much for joining me today on the show. And this is a great topic. You know, you've shared lots of great information on our website. We've got a whole resource center dedicated to it. I think it's fascinating myself and really just can't wait to dig into this with you and help our audience of medical professionals understand what it is and why they should consider this as something to bring into their practice as a toolkit to really help understand their patients and find those outcomes that they're really all striving for. So again, thank you so much for joining us. And so I have a question just to kind of get things started a little bit. You know, this is not your normal, let's say normal medical direction that a lot of people take. What was it? You know, was there an event that happened? What brought you towards this this area that you're so passionate about?
Thank you, Rob. And thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and to speak to you and your audience about this unique and somewhat ancient skill set. For me, I started working about 20 years ago or so as an energy healer and an intuitive energy healer, so to speak. And I found that the information that I was receiving intuitively was really pretty profound and deep and detailed. Mm-hmm. And as I worked more with the energy skill, I realized that some of my clients were coming back with the same issue over and over again, and I wanted to know why. Yeah. And I thought, well, you know, I'm already being able to, I had the skill where I was able to see into the body, actually see the anatomy and physiology and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I could also see into the life history. I know this sounds kind of weird and woo-woo, but it was very natural to me. And I wondered if I could just do that first. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. with my clients before I did any other kind of modality or intervention work with the healing stuff. Mm-hmm. And I found that when I focused on just querying the body, asking it what was going on, where were the origins of this issue? What did it want? What did it not want? There was so much rich and important information for my client that when I did the healing work on them, they were letting go of stuff that they'd been holding on to for years. Mm-hmm. And they were noticing the difference and they were telling their healthcare providers. And then I started getting phone calls from their doctors.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
saying, you know, I've got this other patient and can you look at them and blah, blah, blah. And so that's interestingly not that unusual for medical intuitives. And I didn't even call myself that back then. I didn't know what to call it, right? And that's how I kind of got into it, right? And there's no, you know, there wasn't any schools at the time that I could study at. So I figured sure. This is really interesting stuff.
And when was it? How long ago was that?
That was 20, it's almost 22 years ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so were you a health coach? Were you a Reiki practitioner? What were you doing then?
Well, I studied a lot of different kinds of energy modalities. And, you know, I'd been interested in intuition all my life. I was a very intuitive kid, blah, blah, blah. You know, a lot of stories like that with the intuitive community. But what I noticed was that the more I worked with my intuition, the more either in an energy healing is a really wonderful thing because you're kind of moving energy through your body or through your hands or something. Mm-hmm. There's a million different practices. I did study Reiki. I studied other kinds as well. But, you know, I ended up moving away from energy healing and into this observation and assessment skill because I saw that it didn't matter what the modality was, including mm-hmm. conventional medicine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the treatments are the treatments, but the information to guide the treatments is what medical intuition offers. And that's mm-hmm. something different. So it really doesn't belong in a modality category at all. I consider it a foundational skill set for any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before we get into medical intuition, I would like to just kind of hear your definition of what is intuition. You know, how would you define that to for the audience here?
Absolutely. Well, we all have it. We're all born with it. It's a natural human ability, a natural human trait. You know, how I describe it is some children are born with a proclivity or a bent to math or sports or art. Some children are born with a bent or a natural ability for intuitive skills. Even though we all have it, some kids just kind of show more of that. I was one of those kids. Yeah. But here's the thing. Anybody can learn to draw. Anybody can learn to play a sport or the violin or something. Mm-hmm. And the question is, do you want to develop it? And I wanted to develop it. You know, mm-hmm. I kind of naturally wanted to. It was always fun and amusing and interesting for me. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into the energy work part of it, I saw the value of it, at least this version of it, mm-hmm. For healthcare. And that really is what started my path. But we all have it. And so if we think about intuition as something that we can develop, in other words, if you wanted to learn Italian, right, mm-hmm. you wouldn't expect yourself to know Italian. Or even how to learn Italian, you'd go mm-hmm. take a class, you know, you'd go learn. Mm-hmm. And that's really honestly, Rob, the reason I set up my school is because not only did I want to practice this, I wanted to teach practitioners how to use it mm-hmm. because I saw the value for them. Mm-hmm. And that's how I teach and that's how I learned.
That's great. Yeah. I think all of us have had an experience where you feel like you've got, how did I know that? Or why was mm-hmm. I thinking about that? But most of us probably just brush it off as something that was weird or unusual and don't give it much more thought.
And I will interject and say, most of the time, children who are intuitive are hushed. We're told mm-hmm. to stop talking and don't tell our impressions or our, mm-hmm. our perceptions. And because it's not really well understood. There's a lot of superstition. Mm-hmm. Listen, when I speak at healthcare conferences, integrative healthcare conferences, if I use any of those quote clair words, clairvoyance, clairsentience, you can clear a room of doctors with the word clairvoyance in about a nanosecond. So and that's unfortunate because it just means clear seeing, you know, or clear hearing or clear experience, clear feeling or whatever. And it's very misunderstood mm-hmm. and stigmatized, particularly in healthcare.
What it makes me think of in a way is I'm colorblind. And so not everybody sees colors the same way. Even two people that don't think they're colorblind, you probably don't perceive those frequencies exactly the same. So I'm thinking maybe intuition is something similar where you're able to sense or see things that maybe somebody else can't see, but maybe they can be trained to be able to recognize those things over time or, you know, does that make sense?
Sure. I train doctors, nurses, psychologists, health coaches, massage, you name it, acupuncturists. Mm-hmm. I train anyone in the healthcare field that wants to learn how to do this. Some people come in with a sense of their own intuition and some people come into this with absolutely mm-hmm. not an intuitive bone in their body, they say. And they all learn the same. It's a skill mm-hmm. set. You have to, it takes time. It mm-hmm. takes practice, mm-hmm. right? And it takes the right kind of education, in my opinion. And all of those things put together really can offer, well, I'll just tell you, my students, my graduates, It's a year-long program. And at the end of that year, they are reading, they're seeing, they're scanning, they're doing this work at what I would consider a 3 to 5 year level of skill set.
Wow.
And they're bringing it into their practices immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to see. So, you know, I can't vouch for anybody else's way of doing it, but
sure.
I wanted to create a program that was, you know, it really got them, it got everyone who takes it to a level that is professional. And that's what we do.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're definitely a trailblazer in this area, right?
I mean,
are there other groups out there that are trying to do similar stuff that you're connected with, or is it really just this NOMI that's really the forefront of it all at this point?
You know, medical intuition has been so stigmatized that there's so little research on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of been in the shadows. You know, the National Organization for Medical Intuition was formed about, 3 years ago now. Well, we got together, a bunch of medical intuitives who are like, well, we all kind of do this similarly. We've all been working with doctors forever, you know, why are we still in the shadows? Why isn't this skill set known and, you know, brought forward? Why isn't there any research on this, mm-hmm. right? As a matter of fact, I don't want to segue too hard here, but I did my research in 2019, 2020, because there's so little on the books.
Right.
And what there is out there in like PubMed and where you can read about it, published research, it's all quote inconclusive or mm-hmm. promising, which is wonderful. We love inconclusive. We love
sure.
promising.
Right. Promising is great.
But that there hasn't been a lot of additional study on it. It's really been in the background.
Yeah.
So the national organization came together because some colleagues and friends and, you know, people who were also practicing professional medical intuitives, we were looking around going, what the heck? You know, why isn't there an organization for us? Why isn't there an understanding of what the skill set is?
Mm-hmm.
And I was writing my book at the time as well. And we just decided that it was time to bring it out of the shadows to talk about the professional practice of medical intuition, how it can benefit healthcare, how intuitives are already working in healthcare. So the very first thing we did, honestly, even before we incorporated, was a survey on we identified over 1,000 medical intuitives in the United States that present themselves as professional medical mm-hmm. intuitives, and we sent a survey to them saying, okay. Number one, you know, how do you use your skills? We just wanted to get our lay of the land.
Sure.
And we also said, do you work with licensed healthcare professionals? Or do you get referrals from licensed healthcare professionals? And are you a licensed healthcare mm-hmm. professional? And here's what we found. And, you know, no one has ever bothered to ask this question before. Of the medical intuitives we surveyed, we found that 82% of them offer and work with licensed healthcare professionals for medical intuitive services for mm-hmm. their patients mm-hmm. directly with them.
Yeah.
82%. I mean, hello.
Yeah.
That was a crazy number. We also saw that 86% of those medical intuitives receive referrals. Now that doesn't surprise me. That didn't surprise us. We all have received referrals, you know, mm-hmm. under the radar. We also found that 30% of them themselves are licensed healthcare professionals in something, massage therapist or acupuncturist mm-hmm. or something like that. And that was another really nice, surprising note. It's like, mm-hmm. wow, this really is already integrated
right.
into healthcare. How come nobody's talking about it? So that's really why NOMI wanted to take the bull by the horns. So we've mm-hmm. written a white paper on this survey that we did with a bunch more information. It's on the website. NOMI medical intuition.org, NOMI medical intuition.org. You know, just with the results of the survey and what we feel medical intuition can offer.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, our goals are to have a nice, strong database of vetted medical intuitives, professionals that healthcare providers can reach out to and integrate into their practices as well. We're seeing more and more of this. My graduates are, you know, I don't have a job placement for them. However, I keep getting, you know, emails from all of them saying, hey, I just got hired here and I just got mm-hmm. at this clinic, at that clinic. So clearly something's shifting.
Yes. Well, you know, what you said early on when you're speaking at some of these events and they're, you know, licensed medical professionals in the audience, and they're going to be probably pretty skeptical, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
This isn't something they were taught, you know, even at Bastyr, probably, right?
No. Well, so, Bastyr, maybe, you know, maybe. They teach about energy, put it that way, you know, yeah. Possibly.
So they're going to be more open to it. But they're going to want to see the research, right? So absolutely. You've done some research that's been published yep. now. I'd like you to just talk a little bit about that study and, you know, what the findings were. So if you could just spend a couple minutes talking about that, I think that would be very interesting.
Absolutely. I could spend an hour talking about it. So because the research was so thin, you know, it was just so inconclusive. I worked with some colleagues at University of San Diego, California, San Diego, mm-hmm. Dr. Paul Mills and others. And what the goal was is to you know, it was basically a subjective exploratory survey study because, you know, we're seeing to see what we could get out of it.
Yeah.
So we had five of my graduates and 67 participants from the community, some of whom were patients at UCSD Medical, some from Scripps where I did some teaching. Mm-hmm. And we looked to see what the patients' perceptions were of what the medical intuitive saw. You know, so we mm-hmm. queried them with a Likert scale, kind of a survey. It was anonymous and all the rest of that. We did a blind as we could get it. We had the medical intuitives in my program always close their eyes. So we're not seeing anybody. We don't have visual mm-hmm. cues. There's none of that. And what we came out with was 94% accuracy in the medical intuitive's ability to locate and evaluate their primary health issue. Now, we don't do an intake. These are what we would call a cold read. No prior knowledge at all. Mm-hmm. That's part of the blinding there. And that was a lovely number. We honestly didn't expect to see it that high, and we were thrilled with that. We also saw, remember I mentioned a little bit that I could see into life history. I teach mm-hmm. that as well because we want to know root cause, right? So the participants rated the medical intuitives as 98% accurate in a possible or probable life history event that may have led to their health issues. Mm-hmm. And that was a beautiful number as well. I mean, we, you know, everyone always wants to know root cause, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, for sure.
What could also be root cause? Early life trauma, hello? Mm-hmm. A number of issues, accidents and things that later in life can flare. You know, there's a myriad of issues that can come all through your life, and medical intuition is designed to review it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's also very illuminating. One number that really, I think, spoke to the medical world is we asked the participants how consistent the medical intuitive was with a known diagnosis. And again, the medical intuitive has no knowledge of this. Medical intuitives do not diagnose, by the way. That's not within our scope of practice. We just observe mm-hmm. and we'll state what our observations are. 94% consistency with known medical diagnoses. Now, that is kind of the brass ring, you know, that mm-hmm. that the medical world wants to see, understandably. And we were just delighted with that result. And there were more as well. I wrote about them in my book, Essentials of Medical Intuition, and much of it was published in the Journal of Integrative and Complementary Medicine 2020. So that's findable on PubMed. Yeah.
And what we'll do, just for the listeners, the show notes will be available, and all the links that you've mentioned and your website and ways to get in contact with you will all be there.
Wonderful.
For them to find. So I think that's interesting. And, you know, the type of research that could be compelling for a practitioner that might be a little bit skeptical of something like this. So if you've got a case study of some sort that you could maybe share, I think, you know, how does it work? What does it look like for an intuitive, medical intuitive to work with a patient and a practitioner? If you could maybe share one of those.
Oh, I got a million of them. Okay. But I'll share the one that really kind of speaks to both the physical and the emotional, mental, spiritual, you could say, aspects of a health imbalance. And that's mm-hmm. that's what medical intuitive, you know, everybody wants medical intuitives to say, do I have this? Do I not have this? Obviously, we can't do that. We can't diagnose. We can give you information to take to your doctors, mm-hmm. to take to your practitioners. That's really how doctors and clinicians work with medical intuitives. They ask a lot of questions. Medical mm-hmm. intuitive takes a look or whatever, however they perceive. So a case study here that's a good example of the full scope is a client early on in my practice who I had a kind of a persistent case of tendonitis in her wrist. And tendonitis isn't, you know, it's not a massive major healthcare issue, but she'd had it for about a month and it wasn't going away. And she'd been seeing her doctor and her acupuncturist and this and that, nothing was working. And she asked me to look at it. So what I saw when I use a visual skill, it's that crazy word clairvoyance again, meaning clear seeing. So I use visual mind's eye type visual intuition. And in her wrist, what I did see was the tendons that looked very, very sore and inflamed and, you know, was kind of going up her arm and it was there. It was obvious. And underneath the tendons, I saw what looked like a healed bone fracture. And also around her wrist, I saw what looked like a cloud of emotion, right? So all of this was kind of hanging out in her wrist. And so this is when I start querying the body and I say, what is it I'm looking at here? What do you want? What do you want to show me? And
One question. Yeah. So I was going to ask this before. So these questions, are you internalizing these questions or are you actually speaking them out loud with the patient right there?
No, it's not for the patient. It's internal. It's between my intuitive perception and their physiology, their bodies, their energy systems, whatever you want to call it. You could call it quantum field if you want, but you know, it's like their energy is what I'm looking at. I'm not discussing anything with a client. They're just hearing information about what I'm seeing.
Okay.
Now I'm going to back up a little bit and say that the premise of medical intuition is that the body holds information, physical, emotional, mental, even spiritual. The body hangs on to things, even if we think we've processed it or it's in the past. And there's plenty of research about that from adverse childhood experiences and, you know, all the research about that. Well, physically, the body holds things too. So that's the premise of this. So what I asked the body was, show me what there is to see here. And what it showed me, you know, this client was in her 40s. It showed me an image of like a little movie of her life. In her 20s, where she was playing tennis with her boyfriend and she swung her racket and she tripped and fell and she broke that wrist. And that was where that fracture, that healed fracture came from. And I'm looking at that going, that's interesting. And then the next thing I saw was her in her and her boyfriend in the hospital room, her getting her wrist taped up and her boyfriend breaking up with her in the hospital room. Now, So what that showed me was, what her body was showing me was, that not only did it hold the physical trauma of the break, but it also held the emotional trauma of the breakup, right? And all that's in her wrist. Now,
it's funny to break a broken bone, a breakup.
Yeah, it's really an interesting juxtaposition there. Now, she stopped me. She said, she corroborated. She said, oh my God, I haven't thought about that in years. And then she said, oh my goodness, I'm going through she just had gone through a major breakup a month prior, just before the tendonitis flared up with her current partner. And that connection was the body showing her that there's something in the present moment that connected her to the past. And that's why it flared up right there. Now, this is interesting. There was more to see. Her wrist showed me more. And what I saw was her at about age 5. I saw her in a dark closet. There were clothes kind of around her, dark. No light on. And she was holding that same arm and wrist up in front of her face for protection. And a cane was striking her right at that same wrist spot. And it was wielded by what looked like a woman, probably her mother. And she, again, corroborated that. She said, I know exactly what you're talking about. My mother was mentally ill. She used to beat me with her cane and lock me in a closet. Now, this is early life trauma.
Yeah.
So it's emotional and physical at the same spot where she was having an issue now that wasn't resolving quickly.
That's amazing.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now, the next thing I do in a session, obviously, once I've seen the life history, I've seen the physiology of it, I'm going to ask the higher self, what else is going on that my client needs to know? How can this heal? Right? So physically, you know, it was all the obvious stuff she was already doing, ice and, you know, rest and immobility and all that. But it also showed me that the rest of the physiology was reactive to this, and I need to see all of it, right? What medical intuitives our job is to see what else is happening in the body, because otherwise you're just looking through this little tiny lens. Mm-hmm. So what I saw was there was some gut, you know, imbalance going on from the stress of the breakup and the stress of the pain. There was sleep impairment. You know, she wasn't sleeping well. There were other things going on, some cortisol, you know, whatever, all that jazz. And there were some good recommendations from her body about that. But the underlying issues were emotional. Mm-hmm. And there were some recommendations on that as well. Now, she called me 2 days later and she said, "It's gone. It's gone." Like, oh my goodness. Yeah. What happened was she began processing the emotions of not only the breakup, but these other incidents in her life that were kind of hanging out in the energy field and in her physiology. And she felt like it was gone. It lifted off of her.
Wow.
So that kind of result is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what about,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. You're going to say something else.
No, what I want to say is that we can know about our past, and most of us who are, you know, intelligent, emotional beings, mm-hmm. we think about our past and we process the emotions of our past, but the body can hang on. The energy systems can hang on to things that are still unprocessed. I always find this fascinating. And it puts these puzzle pieces together that our minds and our logical brains might not. Mm-hmm. Right. Mostly do not. Mm-hmm. That's what's the value. That's one of the major values, I think, of medical intuition. It can put these things together in a way that people can actually release mm-hmm. and let go of things that have been hanging out for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So are most of the patients you work with, does it come back to some kind of an emotional trauma that happened previously? Or is that the majority of them, would you say?
Yes and no. It depends on what the focus of the session is. When I work with clinicians, generally speaking, they don't ask me those questions. Right. When I work with clients, always. Yeah. They want to know. I want to know. I want to help them. And looking for early. Now, here's something interesting about trauma. That's a loaded word. And for the psychological and the mental health care world, it really means major trauma.
Sure.
All the stuff that we hear about, you know, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional mm-hmm. abuse. For a medical intuitive, we might see what I call subtle or hidden trauma, meaning incidents from your life that may not seem like you kind of blow them off, mm-hmm. but they're still stuck in the energy and they're still active and they're still kind of causing imbalance mm-hmm. in the energy field, which can cause imbalance in the physical body. Mm-hmm. Or the emotional state or whatever. So we're going to look for it, whether it's small or large, you know, whether someone feels like it's not important. If it shows up, there's something to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the principles here that I work with.
Yeah. So could you give me an example where you're maybe a practitioner asked this patient to come see you, or mm-hmm. What would that look like? What would an example be?
You mean a referral?
A referral. So it's a practitioner that's, are they kind of stuck with, like, I can't get this wrist to heal kind of thing? Or what typically, when would they refer their patient to you?
Typically at that moment, when it's a challenging case, a case that has not resolved, a patient, you know, who's had all the treatments and nothing's worked, or they've even tried, you know, alternative type of treatments and nothing's worked. Mm-hmm. Typically, that's when they come to medical intuitives. I wish they didn't wait that long, to be totally honest, because one of the things that I can do or we can do is discern the best modes. What is the body really wanting? Is it this or that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? This, that, or the other? We can help a practitioner hone that. That's one of our mm-hmm. jobs. Mm-hmm. For the patient as well, people can spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, you know, chasing things.
Sure.
So those cases, I love those cases because the body can show me. I mean, I have so many stories of this. I can tell you a case study of this, if you like.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love that.
This actually really nailed down. This was very early in my practice. It was one of my, you know, first few clients. This really kind of nailed down medical intuition for me as a life-saving skill, mm-hmm. Potentially. This was a young woman. This was over 20 years ago. She had a lot of pain in her mid-back, and she had gone to every doctor in town, and they couldn't find anything. And they, so they called it psychosomatic, and it had been going on for a while. And it was right there in her mid back. It was a lot of pain every day, all day. And so they gave her opioids for the pain, because she was clearly in pain. Even they couldn't find the source of it, and antidepressants, you know. So they said, it's got to be in your mind. When she came to me within, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, less, I saw that there was a little shard, a little crystallized shard in her, I think it was her left kidney, I think. It had come out of the kidney, and it was very tiny. It had embedded itself kind of at the top of the ureter tube, and it wasn't going down. It wasn't moving. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't. So, you know, we all know what that is, but nobody could find it. And I didn't find out later until why. But in any case, when I looked at her kidney, I'm talking to her kidney. I'm like, what does it need? Can she just drink like gallons of water? Can she flush it out? The answer was go see a surgeon. That was like block letters. Tell her to see a surgeon. And I'm like, okay. I think she's seen everybody, but yeah. Go see a surgeon. So I drew her a picture of where it was. And, you know, I said, it's here, it's over here. Take this to somebody, you know, go out there. It looks like there might be someone out there that'll listen to you. Mm-hmm. Take that out there and see what you can find. And luckily she did. She didn't give up, thank God. And she took it out there. She found a surgeon who was willing to take her case, because none of the testing showed this, okay?
Right.
And the reason none of the testing showed this, I didn't find out till later, is because at the time, the technology wasn't seeing things at this tiny, tiny size. It can probably now, but no one saw it. So they assumed it wasn't there.
Wow.
So she found a surgeon. They did the procedure. She was out of pain. He diagnosed it correctly. She took the picture to him and said, there's something there. So that's a wonderful outcome.
Wow,
unfortunately, and this is really where the corner turned for me, she had become so addicted to the opioids by then, Rob, that she overdosed. She died of an overdose.
Oh my God.
And in her 20s, okay? And this just floored me. It should never have happened. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
If her doctors could have consulted with a medical intuitive to say, there's really something there and here's what I see it is, you know, take a closer look.
Mm-hmm.
Would she still be alive? I would hope so. I would think so. The treatment plan would have been completely different, I would have assumed. And when I kind of heard the story, it came back to me a couple of years later. Her parents called me actually and told me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, you know, this means something here. I have to bring this as best I can into healthcare, because this should not happen. And every medical intuitive professional worth their profession has seen clients like this who have gone through the mill, who've been seen as a piece or part of their body and not the whole picture of it, and who haven't gotten the help they need. And it's you know, look, the statistics out there in the medical world don't lie. They tell you this. Misdiagnoses, missed treatments, over-treatment, under-treatment. You know, I'm not saying medical intuition can cure all of it or be a panacea for all of it, but it certainly can help, or, you know, bring a cost-effective and valuable, targeted skill set to the field. So you can see I'm rather passionate about it.
That's an amazing story. It really is. I mean, it just makes me think that this should be part of most practices, that there would be someone that could also take a look. Yeah, because we think about a lot of modern medicine now. You get your 3 minutes with the doctor and 4 minutes with the whoever the assistant is. They're really not asking questions. Certainly not asking questions of the body. But maybe there's a bunch of tests. But it sounds like, you know, this is really just, I think it's fascinating, and the fact that there's now supporting research that validates what you already knew is interesting to me.
I can talk about a little bit more research that's coming down the pike.
Yeah, please.
Again, research for medical intuition is way overdue. And one of the things that this study has given us the opportunity, the one that was in Journal of Integrative and Complementary Medicine, it started some balls rolling, which we're very excited about. And I'm involved in a study that is really just underway, where we are pairing medical intuitives a clinician and a patient together and study that, see how that goes. And that we hope will open some doors into the integrative healthcare world to understand how this process, how this practice can benefit both them and their patients.
Mm-hmm.
Firsthand knowledge.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. No one's ever attempted this, right? So we'll see how it goes, but we're very positive about it.
That's great. Yeah. One thing that you mentioned before, kind of what is medical intuition and what is it not, right? Because I think that might be an important thing for a conventional practitioner to really be clear on what you see it to be and make clear what you know that it's not. You don't want to position it that way. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah. And my position on this is NOMI's, the national organization's position on this. Mm-hmm. We see medical intuition as an assessment skill that is designed to support any kind of healthcare, any kind. And that support is what we are offering. And so that's what it is. What it isn't is energy healing or healing or an intervention. So it's not an intervention. It's not a treatment. It's not a healing skill. You can use those with it, if that's your bent, or you can use those after it. But it's not meant to heal. It's meant to observe, assess, and give data, information. That information is what a treatment plan, a forward motion, how the patient understands where this began, what can do, how to move forward. I call it kind of a path forward in a healing circumstance. So that's what it is. That's what it is not. It's not diagnosis. It's not prognosis. It's not prescription, unless the medical intuitive is legally licensed to do that.
Right.
I'm not. I'm a health coach. I'm not a clinician. So I can't do any of that, but I can tell you what I see. And the patient or my clients take that to their doctors.
Right.
And their doctors can hear that. They can consult with me if they want, and they can develop their treatment plans out of it. It's very new. It's burgeoning. And some clinicians are open to this and some are not. And when my clients come back and they say, I told my doctor everything you showed me, and they were fascinated, and guess what? This happened and that happened. I'm like, okay, let's write this down, because we need to gather this evidence of the efficacy of it, and that your clinician was willing to listen.
And so are you collecting some of that in a way with your organization, or because that to me feels like a way that you could be more convincing to a conventional practitioner,
that, without question.
Here's someone who's just like me, who had a patient I've seen. I was struggling in the same way, and this was the information that came back. And sure enough, I was able to, do X, Y, and Z and help that patient.
Yeah. And also even refer them to specialists or whatever else is needed. We have years of that. In my program, students keep, we do a lot of practicum hours, and all of those hours are documented. And in that documentation, we have a lot of really great anecdotal, information. So, and also over the years, the medical intuitives have been keeping that information. It's a lot of it's in my book. I wrote about a lot of it. And what we would really, really love, and for this audience in particular, to go to the National Organization for Medical Intuition's website and become a supporting member, because what that gives us is the opportunity to connect with you with our professional base. And we just started this. We've got about 40 medical intuitives that we would consider are working at professional level right now through that organization, through my school, many more, but that are with us in the organization. And we want at least that many practitioners, clinicians, so that we can pair you guys up and you can see how this works. And you can see, what kind of value you can get out of this. Certainly the graduates of my program that are all available on my website, you can do that with as well. We want more data. We just want more documentation.
That makes sense. And that's what's really going to be compelling and convince more practitioners to integrate this into, how they're evaluating or working with the more challenging patients. Because it sounds like it's really going to be the more challenging patient where they've kind of run into a brick wall. They just can't figure this one out. And
well, You're right. And in the study that I mentioned earlier with the patient, the clinician, and the medical intuitive, the patients are that kind of patient. Mm-hmm. You know, non-respond, you know, they're not responding to treatment.
Yeah. And the doctor just can't figure out what it is. And
yeah, to be honest,
it's all in your head.
Yeah. Well, luckily they probably don't, which is why they want to take part in the study. Yeah. At least I hope so.
Yeah.
But the other thing is we would really like to do longitudinal studies where we follow mm-hmm. patients and doctors with recommendations. Long COVID is a perfect example.
Yeah.
And I would love to set something up like that. If anyone's interested, please reach out.
Well, I've got a couple docs that I think might be open to something like this, and I'll see if I can put you in touch with them. But
perfect.
And that focus on long COVID.
And yeah, perfect.
Yeah. Let's see. We talked about a case study. And we will, you know, as I said, we'll include the links, but can you just talk a little bit about the programs and the classes that you offer and kind of what someone might expect, you know, how that might work?
Absolutely. So the medical intuitive training is a two-level program. Level one is 4 months, one mm-hmm. weekend intensive per month, and then practicum hours in between. We do have mm-hmm. conference calls in between as well. We also offer mentorship mm-hmm. and mentoring one-on-one with my staff and my mm-hmm. my faculty. And so that goes on for 4 months. At the end of 4 months, what you'll learn is how to scan and evaluate the biofield. Mm-hmm. Now, the biofield, for those who don't know, is the energy system of the body, meaning, in ancient terms, the chakra system and the mm-hmm. auric field. And some people are familiar with this, some are not, mm-hmm. but it's really fascinating to look at that stuff. In level two is a 5 months program, same organization, one weekend intensive a month for 5 months, mm-hmm. practicum hours and conference calls and mentorship in between. And there we are looking at the physiology of the body, all of the systems of the body in detail and in depth, mm-hmm. And reading, scanning, you could say, scanning the body for these imbalances in these different areas physically. And mm-hmm. we also look at life history. So we want to see where the origins of these issues manifested. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of that. So again, at the end of the program, it is a certification program. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be the only certification offered in this skill set in the U.S. I could be wrong, but I set it up that way because it has meaning and it needs that. And it has that depth of practice as well, yeah. and observation, yeah. demonstration. So it is a certification program. What else can I tell you about? It's live online, all done in Zoom in real time.
Okay.
And in real time, live online, no the self-study is the practice. Mm-hmm. But it's not educationally, it's all done, you know, in the classroom, in the Zoom mm-hmm. classroom. We mm-hmm. have people from all over the world. It's very exciting. Physicians and nurses and, you know, you name it,
yeah.
Health coaches and whatnot, you know, coming to us from all over. And we're just thrilled. It's so much fun.
That sounds awesome.
Fascinating,
yeah.
work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you able to stand, as you said, without being in person, or that
yeah.
probably has, you can?
Yeah. It's wow. a remote skill. I personally work with clients all over the world.
Okay.
So I don't, I'm on the phone with them or on Zoom with them, but I don't see them. They don't see me.
Yeah.
It's a blinded practice in that respect. Mm-hmm. It works at a distance. That's one of the mm-hmm. really wonderful things about this kind of work. It's non-local, you could mm-hmm. say, if you've looked into that. And that just means non-local consciousness means that you don't need to be in present moment with somebody. Or
yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Distance healing, you know, where
yeah.
You're not face to face with somebody, and I'm sure it's on that same level of energy yeah. or whatever the term would be.
Exactly.
You don't have to be side by side with somebody.
No, it's what makes it, you know, again, such a flexible skill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now the other program that I offer, I wanted to mention, is for anyone, for everyone. Mm-hmm. it's called Medical Intuition for Healing and Self-Care. And many clinicians will recommend their patients to this because mm-hmm. it's a way to learn how to use that visual skill set that I teach mm-hmm. With yourself so that mm-hmm. you can have a conversation with your kidney or your liver or your,
wow.
you know, your gut, yeah. you know, whatever's going on, and really ask it some very poignant and pointed questions. And start to develop that connection. You know, look, everybody talks, Rob, about the mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is that? What,
yeah,
is that
true.
Random? You know,
yeah.
No. So you can actually learn how to, you know, get that intuitive connection with your own body. I use it all the time. It's hugely valuable. And I think more people, personally, I think more people should have that skill set. So I do teach that. That will be, that is a self-study program. It'll launch in the next couple of months. So if you're listening to this, we're still in 2024. And hopefully it'll have launched already in mid-year.
Yeah.
But we're very excited about that. I've been teaching this workshop for many years and people love it. So there's that.
That's great. Well, I love to see people that, you know, have taken something they're passionate about and, you know, try to bring it to the world and share what you've learned. And it really feels like you've got something here that will help a lot of people. And it sounds like it already has.
That's
great to see.
Thank you.
Is there, you know, one final thought, you know, what do you want the listeners to walk away with? If there's one kind of pearl, from what you've learned, and is there anything you feel like you'd like to share?
Absolutely. Your body, our bodies have their own consciousness. You know, every cell in your body is sentient, you could say. It has consciousness. It wants to heal. It wants to live in vibrancy, you know, our organs, our systems. And listening to or hearing what your body has to say to you can really make major shifts in your own perception. And I encourage everyone to practice however they choose, just even just being quiet and breathing, doing breath work, taking a moment just to look inside or just quiet the mental chatter, you know, even with a meditation practice or even just sitting outside under a tree, you know, or something like that, is very, very healing for the body. The, your body wants to speak to you. And I encourage everyone to take the time to listen.
Yeah, I bet your body is always speaking to you.
Always.
And we're just not always listening, or we don't know how to listen or realize that there's a message there, right?
Yeah, and, that's it.
Yeah. Really cool stuff. This is, I'm so glad we had a chance to talk. This was, I really enjoyed it.
And, me too, Rob. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the One Medicine Podcast. I hope you found today's episode interesting and came away with a few insights you can apply to your practice. If you're looking for the show notes, they can be found in the link below. If you want to go deeper on this topic or anything else, please visit todayspractitioner.com and consider registering for our weekly newsletter as well. Thanks again, and I hope you'll join us next time.